You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Welcome to the Anarchist World. This week we'll be collected. We'll be collected by the Community Radio Network in a few minutes. But in the interim, while we're waiting, just to remind you about a few functions that we've organised. Now, obviously, there are many things happening in the city of Melbourne and wherever we're broadcasting. And it's important that you keep an eye on what's happening and get involved in things. But the few things we're organising. This evening, that's right, the 5th of August, will be a dinner at Taj Agra. For our listeners in the eastern sections of Melbourne, eastern suburbs, it'll be at Taj Agra, 129 Maroondah Highway, Ringwood. Now, if you, like me, rely on numbers on buildings, and usually there are no numbers on buildings, a simple way to remember is if you get off the train at Ringwood Railway Station, you cross the road and you walk towards the city about 70 metres, and there it is. Can't miss it. 6:30 p.m. start. So that's this evening, 6:30 p.m. for all our listeners in the eastern region and obviously anybody else who wishes to attend. There's only one thing. You've got to pay for your own food. People usually bring a bit of alcohol to share, but pay for your own food. So hopefully we will see you there this evening. Meet like-minded people. Now, next Wednesday, we'll be having our normal dinner at Brunswick, at Naruda's, at the corner of Albion Street and Bree Street, B-R-E-E-Z-E, 6:30 p.m. So that's the 12th of August. On the 19th of August, I'll be doing a presentation at the Footscray Hotel at 48 Hopkins Street, and the presentation will be on Australia's longest strike, which was conducted by Aboriginal pastoral workers, the Pilbara strike, 1946 to 1949. So it's quite an interesting part of history, which has again been forgotten. And if you are interested in radical Australian history, if you go to the YouTube channel, josephtoscana.narm, N-A-A-R-M. And on the last Wednesday in September, that's the 26th, we'll be having dinner, 6:30 p.m. again, down at La Porchetta's in Frankston. Now, the Footscray presentation, it's 6:30 p.m. for a 7 p.m. start, 6:30 p.m. for a 7 p.m. start. If you're interested in the public housing struggle, don't forget, public housing, everybody's business, continues to meet. That's right, they continue to meet for their vigil for public housing on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House. This is the beginning of the 9th year of this vigil. Every Thursday, midday to 1 p.m, you can go to the Facebook page, Public Housing, Everybody's Business, or Defend and Extend Public Housing. Now, if you want further information, you can always leave a message on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489. And don't forget that nominations for the Eureka Australia medals are now open. You can make nominations by leaving a message on 0439 395 489. Here we go. The sacred cows has wandered in. We're about to fly off into the ether.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to the Anarchist World this week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Brainwash minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hello. Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. The program is podcast, and you can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. What a fascinating morning. Breaking news. Motivated by anarchist and revolutionary ideology. The Australian Federal Police are creating fear in the community. Now, there was an action, I think, in early 2025, where some activists jumped a fence here in Melbourne and damaged a few cars and sprayed a bit of graffiti on a building supporting the Palestinian struggle. And the Australian Federal Police have now decided that this is a possible terrorist act, which is motivated by anarchist and revolutionary ideology. Well, I never knew that anarchist and revolutionary ideology was a banned ideology in Australia. And in case the Australian Federal Police don't understand what anarchism is all about, anarchism is an ideology based on the creation of society without rulers, not without rules. And what gives the Washington buffoon and the rest of the criminals around the world masquerading as world leaders the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? That's inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggle is the struggle to share power, possibly through direct democratic means, and hold wealth in common. Now, just in case you think this is a little bit of a beta, the fact is there are individuals who are involved in this action who are now facing the prospect of life imprisonment. I'll say it again. Life imprisonment. Imprisonment because of Australia's anti-terrorist laws, which make no distinction between somebody who murders 15 people at a religious festival in Bondi and somebody who climbs a fence, damages a few cars, sprays some graffiti because they're disgusted with what was happening and continues to happen in Gaza. Now, obviously, the Australian Federal Police have put out this little press release or media release in order to try to create a little bit of hysteria in the community and isolate activists who are involved in activities which at the best could be described as criminal damage, not terrorism, to try to pressure people not to become involved in actions which challenge the status quo. Now, just in case people have forgotten, every single human step forward on the planet has been created by revolutionary action, whether it was the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the Eureka Rebellion in Australia in 1854. All these upheavals occurred because of the inability of people to be able to change the situation they found themselves in. And what we've seen in Australia in the last 30 to 40 years is the triumph of the corporate sector above the everyday concerns of people in this country. No wonder what we have seen is the concentration of power and wealth in so few hands. Now, these anti-terrorist laws were actually introduced about 25 years ago after 9/11. That's right. And they define terrorism as any action, which could include graffiti, which is deemed to be threatening to Commonwealth interests. Think about it. Here we have individuals who I assume were motivated by the fact that the organisation they jumped the fence of was involved in manufacturing parts for planes which were used to murder Palestinians by the tens of thousands, not hundreds, tens of thousands. It was quite ironical in the news item this morning that after the motivated by anarchist and revolutionary ideology, AFP, media release was followed by the description of a mass funeral which was occurring in Gaza, which occurred in Gaza yesterday, of 120 people who were extracted by using shovels for one of the buildings which was bombed by the Israeli Air Force. So this is a very important position. This is very important. It's not just about the people involved in the action. It's not just about criminal damage. It's not about being motivated by anarchist and revolutionary ideology. This is about trying to prevent people from articulating their disgust with the mass murder which is occurring in Gaza and other parts of the Middle East. This is about criminalising activities that people, peaceful activities that people are involved in. Because if you can create hysteria in the community by saying this action was motivated by anarchist and revolutionary ideology, what that does is it prevents people being involved in legitimate peaceful action. It's a little bit like we saw with the robo-debt fiasco, where legitimate activities by ordinary Australians and social security benefits was criminalised. We see this all the time, where legitimate activity becomes a criminal offence. We see this in the trade union struggle, where striking outside enterprise bargaining agreement period is a criminal offence. And if you look at my rap sheet, that's right, been on the planet 75 years and I have a rap sheet. You know what my rap sheet says? 1998, failure to vote at a Commonwealth election. Now, if you pay your fine, tick. If you go to court and challenge the fine and you're found guilty, it's a criminal conviction. That's right. Failure to vote in this country is a criminal conviction which sits on your record for all eternity. So this is not just about the individuals involved in this action. This is about every one of us who is involved in legitimate criticism and struggle to ensure that we create a fairer community, to ensure that we don't let war criminals and mass murderers walk away fated as heroes. This is an important juncture. At the very worst, damaging a few cars and spraying a bit of graffiti is criminal damage. These people weren't motivated by anarchist and revolutionary ideology. They were motivated by humanitarian concerns. Who could turn a blind eye to the fact that over 30,000 children were slaughtered in Gaza, legally. Who could turn a blind eye to the fact that places of religious worship, as well as medical workers and hospitals, were destroyed? Who could turn a blind eye to the atrocities which were occurring, which we saw on a daily basis on the World Wide Web or our television screens? The fact is, trying to conflate concern and direct action with terrorism is something that we should not allow to go unchallenged, and unchallenged this will go. Maybe today it's just me, maybe a few other idiots who are raising this issue, but this is an issue that actually should concern everybody, whether an environmental activist, healthcare activist, a trade unionist, where the law is used to not only criminalise legitimate political action, but it is used to create fear and hysteria in the community. Let's see what happens in this situation. But if they think we're going to let this go, we are not going to let this go, because this has a profound impact on each and every one of us who cares about what's happening in the world today. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. My name's Joseph Toscano. The hate mongers, divided nation. I was very interested to see that divided nations has actually elected or appointed, sorry, they don't elect leaders, that Her Highness has appointed a gentleman to lead divided nation in Victoria, and that they've actually put forward their candidates for the Legislative Council, thinking they will win one seat in every division, which is quite possible. But what I found fascinating is how they are trying to avoid public scrutiny. Now, when you put yourself up for election, obviously you're going to be an object of public scrutiny. Obviously, you're going to be an object of public scrutiny. And obviously, you need to answer questions. You need to formulate policies. You need to be able to discuss your ideas. But if your ideas are so beyond the pale that they're unacceptable to the majority of the population, well, what you do is you hide. You hide. You pretend the media does not exist. You don't put out any policies. You don't announce candidates till the very last minute, hoping against hope that this type of strategy will pay dividends, because people are so pissed off with everyday politics. And that's why we're seeing this country the rise of political movements, social and political movements, both authoritarian and non-authoritarian, which challenge the status quo. Because Parliament, at both a state and national level, have become little more than rubber stamps. Unfortunately, real power in Australian society, as we say over and over again, doesn't lie in Parliament. It lies in the boardrooms of national and transnational corporations who have the financial muscle to determine parliamentary laws, not in terms of placing a direct pressure on parties, but in terms of parties self-censoring because they're concerned about the ramifications of passing legislation which may harm profitability, as we see with the gambling industry and the current debate regarding gambling. Look, I like a flutter. I'm not a wowser. I like a beer. I like to have a bet. But what we've seen is the corporatisation of gambling. And we've seen the emergence of organisations who will use every available means to extract every last dollar out of people's pocket. And we are now seeing a government which is having a great deal of difficulty creating laws which assist Australians who may find, because of the tactics which are used by these corporations, have a gambling problem, which not only just affects the individual, but affects everybody around them. Think about it. It's the same with the so-called negative gearing and, you know, laws which have just been passed, you know. Capital gains tax law, minimal changes, maximum reaction. But that small section of society that owns the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication. Maximum reaction. Think about it. So it's not as if they just say, oh, look, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. It's not that simple. It's about the fact that many of the major political parties are totally reliant on political donations from the corporate sector in order to continue to function. And obviously different organisations fund different parties because those parties are then influenced in terms of the passage of legislation which may or may not have a direct impact on that company's profitability, their bottom line. So we do have a problem as far as parliamentary democracy is concerned. And that's the issue. Parliamentary democracy is nothing more than an amoeba, that's right, in the parliamentary spectrum. You've got parliamentary democracy where you elect representatives for a fixed term who have a signed blank check, those of you who remember what a check is, to make any decision they like over the next 3-year periods, and all you can do is wear it. And if you start protesting and are effective in your protests, well, then you may find yourself, you know, charged with terrorist offences in this country. That's the issue. That is the issue. And the reason Australia, of all the OECD nations, has the most severe and extreme, that's right, extreme anti-terrorist laws, which, as I said, sweep up the person who commits mass murder for political gain and the person who damages property for political gain in the same, you know, legal basket, where both face the same sentence, life imprisonment. And this has occurred because in this country, unlike many other OECD countries, there are no constitutional protections for the individual against the arbitrary exercise of state power. Now, if I don't turn up on the program next week, maybe it's because I'm sick, maybe because I've had enough, or I could be bundled up, right, by the Australian Federal Police and their counter-terrorist thing, people, chucked in a room, questions for 7 days. If I refuse to answer questions, I'll be charged and could receive 5 years imprisonment for refusing to answer questions. And then if they decide I'm just a patsy, just a boring old bastard, and they chuck me back out on the street, if I tell anybody what happened to me, I'll be charged. And the people I talk to will be charged. Now, if you don't believe me, because I know this sounds ridiculous. If you don't believe me, I suggest you look at this country's anti-terrorist laws. Because they are created in such a fashion that organisations and individuals have no protection against the arbitrary exercise of state power because of the weakness of a constitution which basically regulates the relationship between states and has nothing to do with individual liberty. Things are so ridiculous that the High Court of Australia over 20 years ago had to find there was an implied right to freedom of speech, not general implied right, but an implied right only during an election campaign, because you can't have an election without people being able to freely speak their mind. End of story. So we are in a very difficult situation. We've seen states pass laws regarding environmental protesters, which have transformed legitimate direct action, non-violent direct action, into some type of criminal activity which can be punished by years in jail. And if you think it can't happen to you, it can easily happen to you because those laws are on the statute books. And for far too long, we have allowed governments at the state and federal level to use fear as a tactic to ensure that these laws are passed. Now, the Bondi Massacre, where 15 people were murdered by two individuals, one of whom survived, is a classical example of the fact that these laws do not protect people against real terrorist activity. They do prevent people from legitimately protesting. And what we've seen, especially in various states, including New South Wales, if laws that have been passed which criminalise protest activity unless it is endorsed by the state police. And if the Liberal National Divided Nation Coalition wins the election here in Victoria at the end of the year, the same laws, if not more draconian, will be passed in this state. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. My name is Joseph Toscano. This program is, as I said, podcast, 3cr.org.au. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. Just leave a message. You can write to us. Yes, we do answer letters. To Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. You can email me at info@anarchistage@yahoo.com or at info@pibci.net. YouTube channels, public interests before corporate interests. That's the YouTube channel. Radical History YouTube channel, josephtoscano.com. You interested in putting the interests of the many, that's the public, before the interests of the few, that's the corporate sector, then I encourage you to go to the Public Interest Before Corporate Interest webpage. And if you would like to join, you can join online right now. Listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. My name is Joseph Toscano, and I'm hosting today's program. Well, you sporting fans out there, I know you love your sport, Australia, you know, rugby league, rugby union, basketball, Commonwealth Games, soccer or football, AFL, rugby league. I think I mentioned rugby league. What else? Croquet? What else? I don't know. Tons of stuff out there. Now, the biggest game in town on the planet is the World Cup. There are more associations have joined the World Cup than they've actually joined the United Nations. I think there are 208 different groups, and obviously there are subgroups. There's the European group, North and South American group, the Asian group, and the list goes on and on. Now, Australia finds itself in the Asian group, and it's quite interesting that the current presidente, Mr. Washington Buffoon's mate, is under a bit of pressure because he wanted to privatise the World Cup. Now, the thing is, when you privatise a sporting fixture, as we saw with the Washington Buffoon trying to, well, he did remove a red card from one of the US players. The thing is that, because he didn't think it was a foul. Obviously, he was a soccer expert or a football expert. Now, I've been interested in following this. The European division has given them the boot. That's the Presidente. The North and South American division has said, piss off. The Asian division, which are great allies, you know, because the Asian divisions includes countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, as well as Australia, you know, they're not happy. But I haven't heard a word from the Australian Soccer Federation. They are missing in action. The Welsh, the Finnish, the English, and a number of other national soccer federations have removed support from the current presidente of FIFA. And they will be conducting a campaign about him not being re-elected. Because, you know, FIFA's got a pretty patchy history at the best of times. But haven't heard a peep. Now, I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, I apologise. But I haven't heard a peep from the Australian Soccer Federation. What are they going to do? Are they going to continue to support the gentleman, the buffoon's mate? Well, they are going to try to keep FIFA, the World Cup at least, independent of the commercial sector. What made it even more interesting was that the 20% that was going to be offloaded was going to be offloaded to one of the relatives of the Washington buffoon. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 6 weeks, high energy excitement. 6 weeks of seeing countries you've never heard of, like Cape Verde, you know, do very well against huge nations, soccer nations like Spain, France, and the Australian Soccer Federation missing in action. Unbelievable. Now let's move on. I'd just like to give you an avian H5 flu update, because I think this is important, because this is, avian flu is a virus, right? It basically affects birds, but it also can affect mammals that eat diseased birds. Okay? It's highly infectious. It's got a mortality rate of over 40%. And currently, well, Australia was the only continent which hadn't been ravaged by the avian flu. And currently there are issues regarding the eventual infestation of the poultry industry by Avian H5. Now, there are three sections of the egg industry, chicken egg industry in this country. There's caged, which theoretically was going to be phased out, I think, by the mid-1930s. There's barn. Caged birds are kept in cages in barns, basically. Then you've got barn birds who are not kept in cages but are kept in barns. And then you've got free range, and there's different types of free range. There's free range in barns, believe it or not. And there's free range, which are grass-fed. All right. The dilemma is that the avian H5 flu pandemic, it's not an epidemic, it's a pandemic, which is going to have a significant impact on this country's wildlife and possibly the poultry industry and possibly other animals, and highly unlikely to infect humans, but it's always a possibility, is going to cause a great upheaval. And a major issue is the fact that because of deforestation, we have a significant number of bird species that are on the endangered list. And the avian H5 flu pandemic has the ability to create the environment which will lead to the extinction of these birds. Now, there is one saving grace. There has been a lot of research in this area, and there is an avian H5 flu vaccine. And I understand that threatened species of birds that are being managed in controlled circumstances, so they can build up those populations and then release them into the wild, will be actually vaccinated against H5 flu. This is also a possibility, obviously, amongst the poultry industry. But what I'm saying to you is, this is real. It's not a conspiracy. It is real. And we will see major, major impacts on bird species, some mammals, especially those along the coastline, that may have long-term implications as far as extinction of species is concerned. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Have you noticed when you walk into a mega temple of consumption? I'm not talking, you know, a virtual temple of consumption like Amazon, but a real temple of consumption. Have you noticed that you could be in Darwin, you could be in Adelaide, you could be in Fargaminda, I'm just joking there, you could be in Melbourne, and it's the same brands, the same brands. And when you look at the brands, you may not be aware that maybe 10, 15, 20 of those brands are actually owned by one company. This is what corporatisation is. Now, I know people in small business are facing huge challenges, especially those that pay their staff award wages or above award wages. Now, obviously, there are people in the small business sector who don't pay their staff award wages. They pay cash in hand, mainly people who've come here as temporary workers. But the fact is that although our politicians, the Liberal National Party, Divided Nation, whatever, the Labor Party, talk about small business as being the engine room of the Australian economy, the fact is that small business in this country is being destroyed. Family-owned businesses, you know, sole owner businesses, businesses that employ less than 10 people are being pushed to the wall. Not as most people think, because of wages and pressures from councils and governments regarding regulations. But their main issue is their inability to compete with these huge corporations that are too big to fail. Huge corporations. And if you think about it, almost everything in Australian society has now become corporatised. We all know about food. Corporatised. Obviously, there are elements outside the corporatised sector, but the corporatised sector makes up 70 to 80% of the food market. Then we've got aged care, which was privatised courtesy of John Howard. That has become corporatised. You've got a handful of players which control most of the aged care in this country. Then you have, right, you've got aged care. Then you have early childhood education, corporatised. Handful of corporations now dominate early childhood education. NDIS, National Disability Insurance Scheme. We are now seeing the corporatisation of the NDIS, where you have corporations which then use their market power to bargain to create increased profitability for them. Now, corporatisation does not have to happen. Now, many countries in Europe have legislation which prevents corporatisation. Even in the home of the dollar, the USA, you have antitrust laws which can be used very occasionally to force a corporation which has a monopoly in a particular sphere of human endeavour to be broken up into its component parts and sold off. The trouble is, in Australia, corporatisation has become the central part of economics in this country. They dominate economics in Australia because there really is no mechanism, legal mechanism, via which you can, as a government at a state or federal level, break up these duopolies. So we don't have that capacity. So in Europe, if you go to Europe and you go to Paris and you go to London and you go to here and you go to there and you see all these lovely little shops, you go in, you pay your overrated coffee, you know, you sit out on the chairs and think you're a Parisian. The fact is that there are laws which protect these businesses from unfair competition from the corporate sector. We don't have those laws in this country. And that's why small business and sole traders are going to the wall in ever-increasing numbers. Take the health industry, and I'm talking about exercise, dominated by a handful of corporations. You name it, it's dominated by a handful of corporations. We now have 50% of privately owned general practices, which are owned by four or five large corporations. And the list goes on and on. So it's about time that people woke up. That's right, small business woke up to the fact that their major issue they face is corporatisation, and the fact there is no way you can compete fairly with these organisations if you do the right thing, obey the law, pay your taxes, pay your staff award rates, pay their superannuation, and the list goes on and on. Think about it. So next time you hear a small business person complain about their wages bill or complain about this or complain about that, maybe gently raise the issue of corporatisation, because it is critical that as many people as possible continue to be employed in a small business sector to provide goods and services to a population which is becoming more and more and more dependent on the virtual world and is happy to do most of their shopping at Amazon or some other mega company in the virtual world. You listen to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. Everything the Washington buffoon touches disintegrates. You have to wonder, don't you? I know Americans are pissed off with their political system. They know, like we know, that it is manipulated by an ever shrinking number of people who've got the financial resources to dictate and dominate their political agenda. And that people are moving in two directions, as we see in the United States currently, as we see in Australia. They're either blaming the other for their problems, and it's a very attractive political message to blame the other, because you don't have to do much, really. You don't have to elucidate any policies. You just blame the other. It's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. We get rid of them, then it's all good. Or, on the other hand, you've got people who are beginning to talk about the fact that deregulation and corporatisation and globalisation and privatisation have been a total disaster for the majority of people in this country. Now, it's fascinating that housing prices have had a minuscule dip, a few percentage, maybe because of increased interest rates, maybe because of the changes to government regulation regarding capital gains tax and negative gearing, which means that investors are no longer attracted because they can get a tax advantage by investing in housing, old housing. They can still invest in new housing and make a killing. But the fact is that even the slightest change seems to be resisted. And it's resisted all the time. And you see almost every media outlet in the country, you know, banging on about this and banging on about that, and actually, you know, be nothing more than apologists for the harm and the damage that's been done by the deregulation, privatisation, corporatisation, globalisation, philosophy, ideology that has had such a grip on the Australian people and the Australian economy. But going back to the Washington buffoon, so obviously people said, look, we know what he's like. Let's put our money in his basket. Maybe he can do something different. Maybe he can prevent these wars that go on forever and ever and ever that achieve nothing, as we saw in Afghanistan. Well, didn't happen, did it? Got involved in Iran, and now things are disintegrating. He's beginning to find out that force, even overwhelming force, doesn't win every struggle. As the Israeli government is finding, Hamas still exists in what's left of Gaza. Still exists, still resists, overwhelming force, 75,000 dead, 80% of the country laid to waste, still exists, still continues to struggle. Because obviously, what is needed is some type of political solution which is acceptable to both sides. Obviously, both sides will have to make compromises. Now, to me, the major question that has never been answered regarding the spiralling violence that we see in the West Bank and Gaza, which was triggered this current cycle, because these are cycle of violences which you'll see since the Israeli state was created, is where was Mossad? Where was Mossad when the Palestinians broke out of the world's biggest prison, Gaza, and murdered 1,200 Israelis? Where was Mossad? This is an organisation which we're told is the best security secret service agency in the world. We saw what they did in Lebanon. Where was it? How could Hamas break out of Gaza and kill so many people without not a whisper being heard by Mossad, which has spies in Gaza, which knows every single thing that is happening? And an increasing number of people are beginning to ask themselves in Israel, why do we find ourselves in this situation where our country has become a pariah in the rest of the world? We have a war criminal who is the prime minister and a defence minister who makes Vladimir Putin look like a schoolboy. And the fact is, no investigation, no royal commission. And with the current elections coming up in October, this is one of the major questions that a number of Israelis are now beginning to raise. How could this have occurred? How could this have occurred? This cycle of violence. Why did it occur? How could it occur? It's just something. And it's interesting to see the Washington buffoon. He says, well, we've solved this problem. Let's move on to the next problem. We've solved the Gaza problem, he says. Oh, have we? Oh, yeah, they've agreed. They've all agreed. Hamas is going to disarm. Israel is going to leave Gaza and it's all going to be hunky-dory. We'll rebuild it and we'll make it another resort. But the fact is, the very day after, we see the Israeli armed forces, which now occupy over 60% of Gaza, continue killing people in Gaza, making a mockery of every word that comes out of the Washington buffoon's mouth. And that's the thing, that's the thing. We're supposed to live in a democratic society and the people somehow have some say in what happens in our world. Well, in Australia, the Prime Minister, as we saw with John Howard, has the capacity to declare war on behalf of the nation without even consulting cabinet, let alone putting a resolution through Parliament. Even if it's an emergency situation and war should be declared, at least there should be some type of debate if you're going to be involved in something which is going to lead to the death of so many people and so much destruction and so much human suffering. You would think that in a democratic society, it's not up to one person to make those decisions. Obviously, it's a little bit different in the United States of America, where the president has extraordinary powers under their constitution. Unlike Australia, where the prime minister is elected by the party, the political party, that has a majority in parliament. So you really have to wonder, when people talk, oh, we live in a democratic society, we have freedom of speech, freedom of association, we can do this and we can do that. Now, I can speak because I'm totally irrelevant, all right? People think, oh, you listen to that, you listen to that. But if what I was saying became a threat to the state, they would seriously consider closing down this radio program. And they could, under current legislation. And the fact is that we need to be able to protect what little freedoms we are able to exercise. And these freedoms we are able to exercise, we're not able to exercise because of constitutional guarantees, because there are no constitutional guarantees in this country. We are able to exercise them because we stand side by side. And we're not cowed by the state and by the legislature and by Parliament. Because ultimately, the type of community we live in is a community which is based on shared values. That's right, shared values. And if those shared values are based on hatred, we create division and anger. If those shared values are based on trying to create a more egalitarian community in terms of decision-making processes, maybe through representative democracy, not direct democracy, and by ensuring that every Australian, every person living on this continent, had access to the basic necessities of life, well, then maybe we'd be a much more cohesive society. Ultimately, community is not based on your colour of your skin, your sexual preference, whether you're tall or short. Your community is based on shared values. And those shared values are values that are either inclusive or exclusive. And if they're exclusive, we see parties like Divided Nation become stronger and stronger. And if they're inclusive, we now see people who want to move beyond the parliamentary farce we currently find ourselves in, where our ability to determine policy is becoming non-existent. You've been listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. This program is podcast, as I said before. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. You can email us on info@pibci.net or info@anarchistage@yahoo.com. YouTube channels, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. Radical History Channel, josephtoscano.now. Webpage, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest, PIBCI.net. Don't forget, nominations for the Eureka Australia Medal are now open. Six activists you know who you think should be not rewarded, because there's no money attached to it, you just get a little medal, but six activists you think should be recognised for the contribution they've made to creating a more inclusive an egalitarian community. You can either send a message on 0439 395 489 or you can email info@pibci.net, or, believe it or not, you can always write to us at Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station. If you've found the program interesting, I won't use the word enjoyment because it's not a show, it's a program. If you found it interesting, tell your friends about it. If you found it boring, move on. Life is too short to waste listening to people who have nothing to offer. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World this week, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. Thank you once again for listening to us on the Community Radio Network. Listen in to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station. Support your local community radio stations. They are critical.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World this week. Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World this week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.